Clayton State University Archives, History's Oral History Project, interview with Kevin Fitzgerald, April 26, 2019, 10 a.m. Interview session 002, session interviewer Fitchy Hall, session interviewee Kevin Fitzgerald. Well, good morning, Kevin, and thank you for participating in the CSU Archives Oral History Project. It is such a pleasure to have you here today. I was so happy that you agreed to participate in this project and program. So as long as you're comfortable, we'll go ahead and get started with our line of questioning.
You're most welcome.
Oh, thank you. Well, my first question is, when and where were you born, and did you grow up in the same place?
I was born in downtown Atlanta when St. Joseph's Hospital was located there, and I lived in College Park, Georgia, until I was 13 when the airport required our family to move for airport expansion.
Okay.
And so our family moved to East Point, and I was there for years. I ended up living there for quite a long time, and then now I'm living in Forest Park, so I've lived near the airport my whole life.
Wow, very interesting.
Yeah.
Who were your parents and what did they do for a living?
My mom was Rose Reardon Fitzgerald. She grew up across the street from Grant Park in Atlanta. My dad was Gerald Fitzgerald. He was from East Providence, Rhode Island. And they met, I guess, during the wartime years, the World War II years.
Okay.
Because my dad was stationed at a military post northeast of Atlanta, which now I think Peachtree DeKalb Airport is located there, where Fort Gordon once was, and that's where he was located. So they met and got married. They lived in Rhode Island for a while, but then they moved to Georgia in 1948.
Wow.
So that's Dad became a tile setter. Even though he had a college degree, he became a tile setter, and he actually put in some of the floors here at Clayton State in the original buildings.
Oh, wow. So you have strong roots here.
Yeah, yeah.
At this institution.
That's why there's the picture of me in front of the round building, the lecture hall that was taken while the college was under construction, because he wanted to bring us down here and show us this new college they were building in Morrow.
Wow.
That's
right.
My gosh. So that's the story behind the picture. My mom was a housewife, although she did, she took training at the high school she went to, Commercial High. She learned how to do like stenography and shorthand,
mm-hmm.
and did some of that kind of work before she got married. And then she actually worked in the Southside Sun newspaper in East Point during the time when I was in my teenage years, so she could, you know, build up her time under Social Security and get the benefits she needed.
Okay.
So they were married the whole over 50 years and lived into mm-hmm. their mid-80s, and so, you know, they did all right.
Wow. Very nice family.
Yes, yeah, I'm real blessed.
And did your family or did your father encourage you to follow in his footsteps professionally, or?
Not really, although I did help him out some. I helped him out on some tile jobs here and there. And I think I could have done that, but I don't know. He was pretty fast and really well organized. And I don't know if I could ever, you know, be as good as he was. But yeah, he did good work.
Okay, all right, sounds good. What high school did you go to?
I went to Headland High School in East Point, Georgia. That campus is now Paul D. West Middle School because the high school went through several mergers. And now, if I was growing up over there now, I'd be going to Tri-Cities High School.
Okay. I know exactly where that area is.
That's right.
Okay, interesting. You have strong roots within this general local area.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from more so our line of questioning about your background, we're kind of going to go into an area of your hobbies and your interest. And mm-hmm. Many people on campus know you for your love of cycling.
Right.
And I have personally seen you riding around campus on a very cool bike. So my question in this area is, when did you become interested in cycling as a hobby?
Well, it goes back to when I was in grade school. I was a little bit late getting a bike. I didn't get one until I was 7, but I was able to start bike commuting to my grade school. So I went to St. John the Evangelist Catholic School in Hapeville, but I lived in College Park, and I'd been using the bus to get to and from. The bus system was the predecessor to MARTA, Atlanta Transit. But when they changed the route, it became a real hassle to take the bus to school. I'd have to wait on a street corner for up to 20 minutes in the morning and up to 40 minutes in the afternoon. And so one day my brother said, well, why don't you why don't you ride your bike? You know, and I said, you've got to be kidding. Mom and Dad had never let me do that. But they did. They let me try it on a weekend. And, you know, 5 miles later, I was over there at, you know, one of my friend's house near the school. Mm-hmm. And so so we started doing that. And by the time I finished St. John's, I didn't get to go to 8th grade at St. John's. I went, you know, my high school was in 8th through 12th. So I started heading in 8th grade. But from the middle of 4th grade to the end of 7th grade, it was over 3,000 miles worth of riding.
Wow.
So I was out there in real traffic, no bike lanes. You know, yeah, I could ride on the sidewalk at places, but other places I was right on the street. I had a couple of different variations of the route, and I preferred a 6 mile route, which took me a little further away from the main entrance to the airport.
Wow. That's very interesting.
So I my main start was commuting, was bike commuting, but I joined our local bike club in when I was 16 years old. It was Southern Bicycle League, joined in spring of 1972.
Okay.
And that increased my knowledge very much over what I had learned on my own. And next thing you know, I was doing really long rides and meeting a lot of nice people. There were a lot of the people who were older than I were real helpful to me.
Wow. So I'm glad to hear about the different participations in various bike clubs and different things like that. But mm-hmm. have you ever thought about, throughout your years here at Clayton State, starting a bike club here or cycling club?
Oh, I'm not too good at organizing things
really?
Like that, but I have led rides for Southern Bicycle Leagues. I actually led some rides down into this area.
Okay.
And I've also taken friends for rides around here. I'd say, yeah, come join me. I'll show you how to get around. One time I led a group of people from the Atlanta Bicycle Coalition, they call it now. I led them to the airport and had them go right past the terminals.
Oh, wow, neat.
That's right, because I told them, I said, you're used to regular intersections. You're not used to merges. So I explained to them how to do a merge. I said, I don't want to hear about us on the news tomorrow.
Exactly.
And they were pretty thrilled because, you know, I said, okay, here we are. You know, we're outside the South Terminal. And so we got to take a little break there and then keep on going. I got them in and out of there safely. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, you may have to revisit starting that club here on campus, and I may have to join in and see what I can do and get my feet wet at least.
Yes. I'm always happy to answer questions. You know, if people ask me about the bike I'll have or anything, any aspect of cycling, I'm glad to answer questions.
Okay. And what type of bike do you currently have?
Well, right now, the most likely you'll see me on a Bike Friday folding bicycle.
Yes, okay.
It's geared low, so it'll climb all the hills around here with no problem. I can ride from home, or I can put it in my van and drive here and then bike around campus to the buildings that are farther away, such as Clayton East or Laker Village or even the Continuing Education Building.
Okay, nice. And what has been your favorite bike ride and why so far?
Well, certainly the one that really stands out is the one where a family invited me to bike across the U.S. with them in 1986.
Yes, I remember reading that article about you and the AJC, but go ahead and you can...
That's right, yes. I was very blessed and privileged to do that. I'd ridden with that family some. They were in the Southern Bicycle League for almost as long as I was in it. And so they knew me and had seen me ride and seen me ride with other people on both single bike and tandem bicycling, because I started taking up tandem bicycling in 1980.
Okay.
And I'd even ridden with their son on one ride, and he was seven at the time, and we did like 50 miles on a ride that the family was involved with. Wow. So anyway, when in 1985, when the mom of this family, Jean Dukes, said, Kevin, we're thinking of doing the bike centennial route next year. And Joe comes running up and says, can Kevin come too? And by this time, Joe was 10. So anyway, I looked at Joe and looked at his mom. I thought, oh my goodness. But that's what happened.
Wow.
And so the summer of 1986, we were left here June 2nd and flew to Oregon and started riding that day. And then August 31st, we ended up in Yorktown, Virginia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. like 12 states, plus Joe and I snuck into a 13th one.
Too funny.
Yeah.
Well, what do you enjoy most about being a cyclist?
I like the fact I get some exercise out of it. Sometimes I'll get to meet some interesting people along the way, and it's a way to save me some money if I can commute, you know, because I don't use any gas, and it's kind of a stress reliever too, you know, as long as you do it right. If you don't pick your routes correctly, it'll actually increase the stress a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. If people ask me, would you rather ride on Rex Road or Terra Boulevard, I'll say Terra Boulevard because it has more room. Rex Road's narrow. It's a tight fit.
Oh, yeah.
Not
any false movement. Oof.
That's
goodness.
Right. There are parts of it that have some extra room, but other parts are narrow, and it's pretty stressful to ride like that. Okay. Terra Boulevard, you have a few places like that, and there's a lot more traffic, but with a rear view mirror and, you know, good sense of alertness, it's just what I'm used to doing. You know, when I was a kid, I had to deal with real traffic then. I can deal with it now.
See, yeah, you never knew how well it was going to prepare you for your future.
It did.
Okay, so now we're going to kind of move along to some a line of questioning regarding your career experience.
Okay.
When and where did you start your career path within information technology?
That's kind of interesting. This isn't exactly IT, but it's close. It's telecom. Mm-hmm. I'd kind of noticed that I had kind of a feel for telecom even as a kid, and then. I was in junior achievement when I was in 11th grade, and the group that I was in was mentored by people from Southern Bell, which was a division of AT&T. That was our local telephone company.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, those mentors realized I knew a little bit more about the phone network than most of the other teenagers that were around. And one of them said, well, you know, you ought to come work for us. And I said, doing what? He said, being a telephone operator. I said, what? Because up to that time, telephone operator was a job that had been, even though guys were the first operators, mm-hmm. women started being used for many, many years exclusively.
Mm.
And so the way jobs were, you know, you're kind of pigeonholed into, you know, women do these kind of work, men do this other kind of work. Well, that all changed with equal opportunity laws, and so guys could be operators and ladies could work on the switching equipment or climb poles or whatever. Because I was still in high school, it was a good fit. So I went ahead and took them up on it, and I was a telephone operator for about a year and a half on an old cord board system where people would dial zero, and I would help them with long-distance calls or problems they were having with local calls.
Okay, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. And so I did that again after going to Georgia State. I came back and got to work a new system, which was much more fast-paced. So I did that for part of 1979 to part of, I think, 1982. So, but I was away from that for a while, but I got my first real IT job after taking an introduction to computer class at Georgia State University. It was 10 years after I'd graduated from high school.
Okay.
And I was so tired of all my friends knowing something about computers, and I didn't know anything about computers.
Oh, wow.
I was led to believe when I was younger that to do anything with computers, you had to be good with math, and I'm terrible at math.
Mm.
But I found out that wasn't true. When I took that class, I found that you could be good with trivia. You could, and that kind of mentality I can do. And so, yeah, I was able to do some simple programming and some simple spreadsheets and that kind of thing. And I thought, what am I going to do now? And then one of my cycling friends says, he worked at Rollins Incorporated, said, we have an opening in our IT department for a forms handler. And I thought, well, I am kind of low on money. I said, I'll just go ahead and do that. So I went ahead and got that job. And so there I was, you know, in a company with branches all over the country, because
wow.
Rollins owns Orkin Pest Control.
You're right. You're
That's right.
right. Yes.
And they had a bunch of other things they were doing as well. So I ended up dealing with printouts, you know, the large printouts, which was everything from reports to bills, checks, all that kind of thing. I had to run those through machines and prepare them according to how the users wanted them. And so later I got to be a printer operator and a production control person, and I actually got to be a computer operator and make jobs run. You know, you remember the old reel-to-reel tapes you see in movies now?
Yeah.
You used to have to load those up and make the jobs run off those. And I'd have to clean the tapes and prepare new ones, that kind of thing. So, yeah, that was my first time to do real computer work was at Rollins.
Okay.
And that was from 1985 to early 1989.
89. Yep. Okay. Well, then, when did you start working at Clayton State University, and how long have you been here?
Well, I started in November of 1989.
Okay.
And I saw one ad for a computer operator while I was actually taking some classes here, and I thought, well, I can do that. You know, at the time, I was working part-time as a courier for Courier Dispatch, so I was like driving important documents around Atlanta and some couple of prescribed routes. It was about 100 miles of driving every day. And so I thought, wow, I could just finish what I'm doing with studying and come over and work here, you know. And so no big commute and not all that driving and all that crazy traffic. So I ended up working part-time in the evenings, you know, in the afternoon into the evening here at Clayton State. And back then, all our computer equipment was located in what we now call Faculty Hall. It used to be the administration building, or the A building, you know, as we call it. And so that's what that's how I got started here. And it was a lot more laid back then because there weren't as, you know, the computer system was smaller. It wasn't as powerful. We didn't have people all over campus using computers to the degree we do now.
Right.
And the main thing I had to do was run backups. And in both those machines I had to deal with, I had to mount a reel-to-reel tape.
Oh, my goodness. And how often did you have to do that?
I had to run the backups every night. That's
okay.
Right.
Okay.
So it's amazing to think that all that would fit on two tapes.
So back then when you initially started here, do you remember your actual job title at the time?
I think they called me a computer operator.
Okay.
Pretty sure, because that's really what I did.
And
I had a couple other duties. When the faculty evaluations would get marked in by the students at the end of the quarters, because we were on quarters back then, not semesters, those would be delivered to our office, and I would get to run them through a Scantron machine that was connected to our computer system, and it would record what the students had marked on those Scantron sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And so after a while, I kind of noticed which professors were well-liked and which ones were not. Because there were only like 5 questions and I could look real quick and say, oh yeah, they like this one, you know, and
oh,
I don't know about that one. So that was kind of funny.
See, you could have advised students who to take and who not to take at that point.
I kept that to myself. I don't think I was supposed to talk about
that. No, exactly. No,
but
no,
I think I can talk about it now. So but that was pretty funny.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And so what is your current job title?
I believe they call me a network support specialist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. And okay. But that's what I do. I help with people with mainly the connections that we have on campus. Okay. Everything from the data jacks on the walls to the equipment that the data jacks connect to within the data closets. I'll get to install and remove and maintain that equipment and document it, how it's all connected, so that when we have a problem, we can trace it down quick and get things going again quickly.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, because that's a big help to me in the archive, so thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. I also do the voice for the phone system.
Oh, really?
That's right. When you dial the main number, that's me telling you to press this and that and the other.
All right. I guess because I don't dial the main number often, but you know what? I'm going to go and listen.
That's right. If you call the hub and you say, you know, you're here, you know, your call is very important to us, please continue to hold. Well, I say that too, and maybe people don't like that so much, but if they call the campus when the weather's bad and they hear that we're closed due to snow, they really like that.
Okay. I did not know. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. You're Mr. CSU, himself. Oh, my goodness.
Well, at least with the phone system. I don't know about anything else, but with the phone system, I can come through for them on that.
That is interesting.
And I say what they tell me to. I don't make any of that up. I may have to say, wait a minute, this is a tongue twister. I can't say that. Can we rewrite this?
So what was it like here on campus when you first started working here?
Well, it wasn't as big. We didn't have as many buildings. We didn't have as many students. The pace was a little bit slower, I would say. I don't think we were quite as diverse, but we were certainly becoming that way. We had some new facilities, though. The T building, as we call it, the technology building, which we now know as Clayton Hall, had just mm-hmm. been finished. And they had some vocational technical classes in there, mm-hmm. As well as, regular credit classes like what we're used to, academic style classes. And the continuing ed building was nearing completion, and Spivey Hall had just been, they just were putting the finishing touches on it.
Yes.
Spivey Hall.
Okay.
So it was beginning to grow. And of course, Dr. Downs was still here. He was our first
yes.
president. And Diane Jordan, his secretary,
mm-hmm.
she was still here. And so those people had been here a long time. And Dr. Downs wasn't too much for computers. That was not his thing. So only privileged faculty and administrative people had computers. And our computer system that we had for student records and for continuing education student records, they had terminals. We'd call them dumb terminals because they were really hooked to the main systems. And all the functionality came from the main system. So, the terminals just sort of sat there and were connected and did things. So we did not have fiber optic between the buildings. All the communications between the buildings was done over phone lines using a system that would put the data over the phone line
mm-hmm.
where you couldn't hear it being transmitted. But that's how things were communicated back then. Yes.
Yeah. You really came in at a very interesting time when it seemed like the institution was really just at that cusp of growing and burgeoning and everything.
Yeah, it became Clayton State College in 1986, which is a little bit before I got here.
Mm-hmm.
But it was starting to grow. And every now and then we'd get some new computer systems in, and I'd have to help set them up.
Mm-hmm.
We'd get a new printers, I'd have to set them up. And laser printers are beginning to make an appearance here. We had a few of them back then. And so, now you go to look at a printer and it has a whole bunch of letters and numbers after it. We had two original laser jets on campus, and then we started having laser jet twos and threes,
and it just...
during those first days when I was here.
And speaking of those printers, I heard from a little birdie on campus that you have quite the collection of manuals for all of the various printers that have been on campus over the past year. So
I have a few of those. I do. I have not only do I have the manual for Diane Jordan's printer, I have her printer.
Really? Oh, wow.
And the last time I tried to run it, it would still run. And I have two videos of it running on YouTube, and they've gotten considerable number of views.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to go and take a peek at that.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, goodness. That is interesting.
NEC Spinrider 8800, and she had the only one on campus. Mm-hmm. There were other models of Spinriders, but they were 3550s, and they were slower.
Okay.
But they were every bit as noisy because they were literally an impact printer with one letter at the time being beat into the page. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But very fast for some mechanical action like that.
But
the laser printers, made those type of printers obsolete. We still had a lot of dot matrix printers on campus.
Oh, wow.
Yes. But now there's only one department left using those, and that's when, you pay your bill in the bursar's office, they'll print you out a receipt, and it's printed out on a little OKData Microline dot matrix printer.
Okay.
Yep.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we embrace the future while we still hold on to the past.
We've got a little bit of past going on there.
So what was your most enjoyable moment while you've been working here at Clayton State?
Wow. Well, I got to admit, I was floored, taken aback, shocked, surprised when I won the Smith Award, Staff Employee of the Year for school year 1995-96.
Okay.
And back then, they didn't tell you who was nominated for it. They just had the ceremony, and you went and saw who won. And uh, they uh, they called out the names of who was nominated right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to be sitting next to one of the other people who was nominated. And it was Joan McElroy, you know.
Okay.
And she was nominated too. I said, wow, Joan, we're in good company. Because all the other people who got nominated were people I really thought a lot of, you know, I admired them a lot for their work and service, and they were easy to work with and everything. So when they called my name, I was shocked, because I mean, I hadn't been here that long. I was, you know, it was 96, and I'd just been here since 89.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, that was something. And the other thing they did, they told my parents and swore them to secrecy, and so they were there.
Oh.
So, yeah, that was, they.
It was really nice,
yeah.
And special.
Then. Yes, it was. Mm. The only thing they didn't let me do, they didn't let me get up and talk.
Oh, okay. Mm.
And if I had, I would have said, hey, you know, I was standing on the shoulders of other people in the department. You know, it wasn't just me. I said I had a lot of people in the background that this would have been possible without, like Abate Zodi, my, you know, boss that I've had all these years. Nice. And, you know, Dr. Daniel, who was our department head at that time. I guess he was played the role of, like, vice president of, you know, IT back then. I don't remember what his real title was back then, but that's pretty much what it amounted to, you know. So I'm very grateful to them and the other people with whom I worked at the time, because I'm, you know, it wouldn't have been possible without them.
Aww.
So I can say it now.
Exactly. We consider this your thank you speech and
That's
acknowledgement
right.
speech.
That's so. Right. Yeah. I finally get to say it.
Well, coming off of that, what has been or have you had a challenging experience while you've worked here at Clayton State?
Oh, wow. I think it started getting tricky when we first started having computer viruses hit the campus.
Mm.
And at first, I don't think people took him seriously, because the first one I can remember is we had some real computer labs with IBM PCs in them with floppy drives and that kind of thing. And but they were networked. They were hooked together to where a student could work on something using software on a server,
mm-hmm.
and they could print on a printer that, you know, all the computers were hooked to the printer, and they could print to that. Well, you'd start up the computer, and it would say, your PC is now stoned. And so it was referred to as the stoned virus.
Mm-hmm.
But it appeared like it wasn't really doing anything bad to your computer or your work until later on, when you wanted to try to find the file and you might hit DIR, you know, the directory command to see
right.
where your files were. And you'd see garbage where the file name should be. It'd be a bunch of, like, foreign characters and weird lines and squiggles that was part of the IBM extended character set.
Wow.
And you couldn't retrieve your files.
Mm.
And so, you know, we started having to get antivirus software. And again, at first, they didn't take it real seriously. And they, you know, were using, like, trial versions of it and stuff like that. I remember having to come in on a Sunday morning one time and get a more powerful virus off file servers that we had along with some of our other staff, because it was just causing havoc. And so finally, we got, you know, robust antivirus software and procedures in place, and so it became a lot less of a problem. It didn't totally eliminate the problem, but it definitely made it a lot more pleasant to work here, because I wasn't cleaning computers every time I came to work.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That does sound challenging.
It
I
was.
Couldn't even imagine.
It was very annoying, very annoying. I was, you know, it was pull your hair out time, you know.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I know you mentioned one person who was very influential within your time here at Clayton State, but are there any other people who were influential, and could you tell me a little bit about them?
Well, I mentioned Abate Zodi.
Yes.
Abate came to this country from Ethiopia, mm-hmm. and attended college here in the U.S. and lived in a couple of different places, like Iowa and College Park, but he ended up working here. He started here in 1986.
Mm.
And so he and Dr. Daniel were the ones who hired me.
Okay.
And so I would, you know, learn things as I went along, because the only classes I had in what I did here were what I took at Georgia State back in 1984. And I also took another introductory class here at Clayton State. And that was all I had to go on.
Mm.
And so I had to learn as I went along. So I would learn from Abate and from other staff members here how to do cabling, because that's one of the things I ended up having to do, because we changed from these two smaller systems to one somewhat larger, more powerful system. But in order to make that transition, I had to learn how to recable all these serial cables. It was serial cables, like an old-fashioned way to hook up computer stuff. Mm-hmm. It's old-fashioned now. But I got really good at it. I got to repin many, many of those cables and change them over because of the differences between the old systems and the new ones. So that was something I had to learn from him. And I also had to learn to work with our Novell NetWare, which was the kind of networking software we had at the time. And so to set things up properly and to make our computers work properly with the network, I had to learn how to configure the steps involved, where when the computer would boot up, it would seek the network and find it and get on and let you log on and that kind of thing.
Okay.
So yeah, you had to learn. I've learned most of what I learned from him. Later on, we got some other folks in here who, worked real hard. I know we had Cheryl Garvin was a lady who ended up in our department, and we had to work together closely. Mm-hmm. Roger Poor came on board in 1994. He was here for years. Mm. Until fairly recently, and we would learn from each other, and you had a lot of good folks to work with back here in the day, and I had to work with Dr. Daniel. If he had a request or a question or whatever, I'd have to let him know what I was doing, that kind of thing. So it was basically a learn as you went along type of experience. I had taken some classes at Atlanta Area Technical College mm-hmm. for aircraft mechanic.
Okay.
And that teaches you to be a good manual reader. You, mm-hmm. you learn to read the instructions first, then work on it, not the other way around. And that saved me many, many times. I know there's a lot of things that were broken or torn up if I hadn't read the instructions first. because there's when you have to work on a printer, you have to take it apart in a certain order. Right. If you do it wrong, you can break it.
Yeah, very true. But mm-hmm. it seems like you were very privileged to have a very good experience and be surrounded by so many great people to help you, grow within your career path and
yes.
to just being here at your time here at Clayton State.
And they were patient too when I would mess up. They would not give me too hard of a time. They'd say, no, wait, this is how you really do it. Or, are you sure you ought to do it this way? We also had a great administrative assistant when I joined, Judy Gifford. Mm. She worked here for many years and she certainly showed me a lot of patience, and Gene Fowler was also in the office staff mm-hmm. there. So the two of them, I'd be right in the same office as them because I didn't have my own office. I just had a little space there with those two ladies.
Okay.
And sometimes I would even do forms handling for them like I did at Rollins.
Oh, wow.
If they had a big
okay.
printout that needed to be, remember with these old line printers, they had holes down the side of the paper and the forms were continuous. Well, one of the things you'd have to do is run it through a machine that would separate them into separate pages and take the holes off.
Oh, wow.
And so I'd run a machine that would do that.
You can even do, right.
Yep.
Oh.
I knew how to do it. I was, did miles of paper at Rollins. So.
See, all of your experience just preparing you for the next level, as
That's
you're
right.
going on.
That's right.
Nothing bad about that.
Yep.
Well, now it comes, I guess, more of a reflection tone for mm-hmm. these line of questioning, mm-hmm. which will follow. But what are you looking forward to most once you're ready to retire from Clayton State?
Oh, wow. I don't know if I'll ever get to retire.
Really? I know. You're so integrated into this school and, such an integral part of this school.
I mean,
it's like you are almost those roots of this institution.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
go back a ways, not all the way back. You've got Diane Jordan who
right.
really does go all the way back. but I've been here a while. So as a matter of fact, I went down to the Butterfly Garden and I noticed they have a brick border around it now. And I guess the retirees.
For the retirees, yes.
Buy a brick. And so I saw all these names. I thought, my gosh, I know almost every name on these bricks. I've met them at some point in time. But whether I'll ever end up with brick there, I don't know. But yeah, I certainly would like to enjoy more bicycling time and get some personal things accomplished. I think I'd be just as busy retired as I am here.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm not going to be a sit around and watch TV or be online all the time, although I definitely get online now. I can't see me doing that.
I truly believe that because you have so much spirit and zest that you possess. So I can completely see that.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, how do you think your coworkers will remember you?
Well, I hope they'll hope they won't laugh too hard. But no, I think that they'll remember. I hope they'll remember some teamwork, that I was a good team player, that I helped them out when they needed help, that I listened to them, and I wouldn't jump to conclusions on what they were telling me, and that sometimes I would maybe think a little outside the box or think of something maybe a little bit different to try to help, you know, help them accomplish what they wanted to do, or, you know, figure out why something wouldn't work. That kind of thing. So, yeah, I hope they'll remember my troubleshooting that I did for them. And, you know, they. I hope they won't remember me being grouchy. I don't get grouchy much, but it has happened.
It happens to the best of us.
Yes.
Completely understand. But spoken like a true IT professional, though. So with the troubleshooting comment,
right.
I really like that.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what do you think you will miss most about Clayton State?
I'll miss seeing so many people here, because I know people here from the students all the way up to the administrators, the cleaning crew, the electricians, the landscape people, because I've had to help all of them at one point in time or another. And I'll certainly miss the people from our crew.
Right.
Thankfully, with social media, you can stay in touch with a lot of people. I've even had... I've worked with interns in recent years. We had student interns work in our department, and I've mentored some of them. And some of them had later friended me on Facebook, and we still stay in touch. And it makes me really proud when they've been able to accomplish, you know, good things with their degree and with what they've learned here.
Yeah.
Some more so than others. Some have had to go into different careers, because there have been times during my time here when the economy has not been good and IT jobs weren't available, like during the dot-com bust that they talked about.
Yes.
I had one of my interns, she ended up having to kind of like say, okay, well, I can't do that, now what? And now she teaches special ed.
Oh, wow.
And she's done very well with that. I know somebody who she helped work with and teach, and that person's turned out pretty good, too. So, yeah, so that's been good to see that. So, yeah, I'll miss seeing the day-to-day contact, though. I'll miss that. But I live close by. It won't be hard to come and visit unless I end up moving somewhere else, which I hopefully won't. I like staying around here. This is home. It always has been, you know, when on the South Side. You know, I'm a native South Sider. And I can speak Southern if I want, but I always say our phone system ought to say, you know, welcome to Clayton State University. For English, press 1. Para Español, oprima 2. For Southern, mash 3. It's down here, we mash buttons.
So true.
But of course, they'd never let me say that, and I'm not going to ask them. But yeah.
Oh, goodness. Okay. What do you want people to know most about the experience working here at Clayton State?
Well, I'll say that if somebody's going to come to work here, they got to be ready to hit the ground running and do good teamwork. There's a lot of collaborative effort that has to go on. You really can't go it alone here. You're going to have to be able to work smoothly with other people. You got to be patient. You got to have a sense of humor. And you may have to interface with other departments entirely. But yeah, you will work hard here. You can't goof off.
That's true.
You know, and you have to be careful. You have to treat everybody with respect. They'll have, you know, not only will you be taking courses on how to do that, you have to really do it, you know. And so, it's, and I will always say when people come and visit, when students are first coming here, the new students, make them feel welcome.
Yes, I agree.
You know, no matter what kind of job you have here, that helps so much.
Yes, I really do agree with those sentiments.
Yes.
That's really true.
Right.
Okay. Well, at this point, is there anything you wanted to talk about that we didn't cover?
Well, actually, you did really good. You brought out a lot. Yes, I'd say you brought a lot of good memories. I will say one thing I'll add, because people may not know about this, is when I first came here, the buildings had letters. You had the A building, and B building and C building and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And that system worked pretty good until we started skipping letters. Or needing two letters.
Oh.
And so, but it was our second president, Dr. Skinner,
yes.
who decided our buildings should have names.
Mm.
The problem is some of the buildings were named after what went on inside them and not after a person or some other name that could be constant.
Mm.
And so where that caused problems, for example, is with what we now know as Magnolia Hall.
Mm-hmm.
It's already had several names before Magnolia Hall.
Oh, wow.
It was like the Business and Health Science Building, and the Natural and Behavioral Sciences Building. So now it's Magnolia Hall, and that can't be changed. There's no need to change it.
Right.
But on my computer, I keep a file that I can send to people, and it's a building letter to name translator file. It will give you what the building used to be called, all the names it's had, and what it's called now.
Oh, wow.
And what banner number it has. So I will gladly send that out to anyone who wants it.
Oh, I would love to take a peek at that. Oh, my gosh.
And I know Dr. Skinner would, he didn't like it when people used the building letters, you know, he didn't like that, but I still use the letters on my documentation, on the little labels for my fiber optic cables, it'll have the letters, and I even made up letters for the buildings that didn't have them, so it just makes it easier to fit on the label to have those letters, but I still remember the letters. If you ask me any of the old buildings what their letter was, I can tell you.
Oh, wow. And I guess this one last question. Are there any, or do you remember any great stories or legends about the university at all?
I would. It might take me a while to sort of put them together. I know that one thing that happened was they needed, they started having sports teams. You know, they had intramural sports and all.
Right.
But in 1990, we started having, the sports, I think it was NAIA,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was the athletic association that our
yes.
basketball team ended up in, and so they needed a mascot, and we'd had some vermin get in one of our pieces of power equipment and shorted out the electrical system that, you know, sort of affected many campus buildings, and so I was saying, you know, they ought to call us the Clayton State Power Rats. I was just joking, of course. We ended up being the Lakers,
right.
And I remember for a time the colors were they're blue and orange now,
right.
But they're originally green and orange.
Mm.
Yes, yeah, which I kind of like that, being of Irish ancestry. I got
kick
out of that, you know. But blue and orange is fine, and the Lake Monster, Locke, has had a couple of different
renditions,
and, you know,
yes.
yeah, you've seen him before. He was green before and
yes.
had a little different profile and face and all. But but I think the mascot we have now is just fine.
Yes.
And I've got pictures taken of myself with one of the Locke. It was like a statue of him. But the position at which Locke was standing, it was almost like he was telling me, my printer is putting lines down the page. What can I do? And I will gladly send you that picture.
Oh, yes, please do.
Yes,
yes. Oh, my goodness.
And I have had some humorous things happen. Like one time I was walking in faculty hall, and all of a sudden behind me I hear a loud splash. And I turn around, and there's a recycling trash can on the floor, water spilled everywhere.
Oh.
And what had happened, I think one of the technicians who no longer works here,
mm-hmm.
they put that up in the ceiling to catch a leak from an old pipe. And I guess it filled up with water and got too heavy for the ceiling tile. Ceiling tile gave way right after I had walked under it and landed, all that water had landed just behind me.
Oh, you were so fortunate.
Oh, I was.
I would have thought somebody was playing a practical joke on
you. That's, oh, I tell you, it was so close.
Ooh.
And one more, and then I probably ought to stop. My boss, Abate, was, he's real even keeled and, you know, he wouldn't get too excited about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But one time we had a power supply in our main data closet in the university center, the little power supply, caught fire inside. and had, you know, flames coming out for a moment. And he got pretty excited about that. And I said, well, I guess when you see an orange glow inside, that means it's in an error state.
Definitely.
We have fire extinguishers in our data closets, so, they get checked and everything now. But yeah, it could have been bad, but it was kind of funny in a way.
Yes, well, I'm glad that was contained.
Yes. I will add one more thing. I remember one time I had an intern who was helping me install, we're actually relocating a battery backup device. You know, they call them an uninterruptible power supply.
Mm-hmm.
We put it in the data closet in Edgewater Hall. And so I said, okay, Matthew, plug it in. And he plugs it in, and sparks and flames shot out of that uninterruptible power supply.
Yeah.
They had wired the outlet to the wrong voltage.
Ooh.
It was, 220 volts instead of 120. And if they'd used the proper outlet, then the plug wouldn't have fit in. But it fit right in because they used a 120-style outlet. But they had it wired to 220, and so it ruined that UPS. But I'm sure that intern will never forget that experience.
Oh, and not at all.
I won't either.
Goodness.
We didn't know whether to laugh or cry, though. We didn't get hurt, and it.
Thank God.
But it was, a shame, and that electrical contractor had to buy us a new UPS.
Yes. Oh, wow, yes. I bet they did. Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
Yes.
And I guess it's something about Edgewater Hall with the recent.
Oh, yes. That building is
goodness.
Really been worked on a lot since I was here. In 2000, I think, 5 and 6, they, one floor at the time, they completely removed all the walls, all the offices, all the data closets, all got taken out, and it all got put back better and with a more robust electrical system,
mm-hmm.
Better data cabling, better wiring closets. And I have pictures, and I can provide you with those, too.
Well, thank you.
All the walls gone, and wire hanging down from up above and everything.
Wow.
We definitely had electrical problems there, because, like, one time I got a call that the registrar's office was down, and I thought, what in the world could have happened? And so I went over there, and sure enough, I go in the data closet, and everything's off.
Oh.
I'm thinking, oh, no. Well, what had happened is somebody had a heater in the registrar's office, and when they turned it on, it overloaded the circuit. And what they didn't know was that our battery backup device at the time was on the same circuit. And so when the batteries ran down, everything turned off.
Oh,
so
wow.
All they had to do was reset the circuit breaker and not use that heater, and they were good to go. But as you can tell from that story, we needed a more robust electrical system in that building.
Yes.
And we got it.
Good. Oh.
And we did. And I also have one more story that I had, they have to take your kid to work day, right?
Yes.
Well, I don't have any kids, but I have some families whose kids have bicycled a lot with me.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them's name was Paul Chambers. And so I brought Paul over here on a Saturday so we could replace some network equipment in a data closet that used to be in the top of Edgewater Hall in the second floor in the back.
Mm-hmm.
That was the same one where the power failure took place some time back, right, because of the heater. Okay, same closet. So anyway, we come over on Saturday and we go downstairs and there's water all in the bottom of this building, all in toward the front. And so we found the first flood that we had in this building. I used the term flood. It wasn't, water up several inches high.
Right.
But it had gotten in several offices and some storage areas and the mechanical room all on the east side of this building, the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why it happened, we'd had the remnants of a hurricane or tropical storm or something come up in 2004. And because of the construction of the university center, the flow of the water changed, and all the water, instead of going through the plaza that was once there, it went in front of the university center, in front of the library, and then came down the little driveway to where they parked the golf carts.
Ooh.
And that drain that was there wasn't enough for all that water, and so the water came up and went in underneath the doors of the mechanical room.
Oof.
And came on in. So we found the first flood, and so immediately called public safety, and they got facilities people over here to vacuum up the flood water. And it delayed us about an hour because I had power cords that were in some water and that kind of thing. I had to get them up out of there. But finally we got finished with that, and Paul and I replaced a bunch of standalone equipment in that data closet and put in what they call a large metal enclosure, we call a chassis.
Mm.
And so we moved the connections one at a time from the old equipment over to this new device and wired it up and got it going, And when we got done, we were all set. And when they came in, you know, Monday, everybody was happy. Everything still worked, you know.
Well, that was good.
So that was what I did with Paul. And I also had him over here one other time to help me with identifying some data jacks in the classroom, because all the labels had come off. And, you know, I like to have things documented.
Right.
So
sense.
I had him with a cordless telephone, and I was in the data closet with a wired phone, and we had wired up one of the connections to use that phone just between us.
Mm-hmm.
And we identified every last one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I also have him do a sound effect on my computer. When he was a kid, he was fond of criticizing me, like kids will do sometimes when they're, you know, get that age. And so if I was bicycling and would miss a turn, or I'd forget something, he was fond of saying, "You idiot." So he said it pretty often, you know. And so I told Paul, I said, "Let's make a recording of you saying that." So I had him record a WAV file of him saying that. And so I took that and put it on my computer for critical stop error sound effect.
Oh, goodness.
All right. So one day Abate was using my computer, one of the data closets, and he was sitting there typing along, and he hits enter, and an error message comes up on the screen, and the sound effect comes up, and the kid's voice says, "You idiot." And he keeps on hitting enter, and he keeps saying, "You idiot." He said, "Kevin, what did you do to your computer?" So anyway, we still laugh about that now, because he's all grown up. He's married and has twin girls and everything. He's working nearby. And I'll tell him sometime, I'll say, "Well, Paul, you already called me an idiot two or three times this morning." He's going to be working on something and it doesn't work. An error will come up. So it's a good story.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you've had so many wonderful adventures, and I think just even more wonderful adventures and experience to have here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to thank you on behalf of the archives for coming by today and participating. And just thank you for this time. I thoroughly enjoyed myself this morning. So.
Well, thank you. I did too. Good memories coming back. I hope I can come through for you more if I can find some other goodies hiding in my office.
Oh.
And I also have some videos. I've got a YouTube channel with a few Clayton State items on it.
Yes.
And I have more tapes I need to bring over and have them copied, or copy them myself and bring them over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'll be able to enjoy some other cool scenes from the campus from back in the day.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And hopefully I don't bother you too much here in the archives, but
it's my pleasure. Just let me know. If I don't know it, maybe I'll know someone who will know about what you're asking.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Kevin.
You're most welcome.